Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and welcome to this week's HopeCast. My dear friend Jen Houston joins me as well. Jen, thank you for being with me.
Thank you for having me, David.
If you don't know, my HopeCasts on a weekly basis are trying to intersect what's going on in your personal lives, in your faith and development, but sometimes, maybe even oftentimes, what's going on in our world through the lenses of hope. And if you haven't listened to last week's HopeCast, please do so. I try to explain to you the World Economic Forum, what it's trying to do, how it's trying to control the world, give us oversight over issues they think need to be addressed in a way they think they should be addressed. And many of us who live under the understanding of freedom in our United States of America disagree with them in so many different perspectives. So please listen to that. It will give you insights into what's going on in our world today. And I ended last week by saying, hey, this week we're going to look at the three nations on the face of the earth that we need to constantly look at as we explore end times prophecy. Now, listeners, I don't want to spook you out. That's not my purpose. But I do want to remind you that 1/4, 25% of all of the Bible is prophecy. And a lot of that is in times prophecy or in the latter days prophecy. I just want to take that seriously. I want that to be a part of my overall preaching. Now, some of these HopeCasts try to give you personal faith, overcoming problems. In fact, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to deal with subjects like how to overcome fear, how to deal with insomnia, those kind of subjects. But right now, let's look at what's going on in the world. And the Bible seems to focus in end times latter day prophecy on three different nations. One of them is Rosh, which is Russia, and Magog, Ezekiel 38, which is all the stans that are out there, Afghanistan, Kazakhstan, all of those stans that are greatly Muslim. Those nations are a part of the end time prophecy that will come against Israel. Again, the place to look at that is in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. The other nation that is important in those end times prophecies is the nation of Persia, which is present day Iran. And then finally, the other nation that is central is obviously Israel. In fact, we should say that in your dealings with end times prophecy, always look at Israel. Always see what's going on in Israel. So we have right now Rosh, Russia, and the stans that are around it entering into the Ukraine in that particular war that consistently goes on. I don't think the Ukrainian war is a huge part of end times prophecy, except to say it is greatly influencing famines throughout the world. And as you know, the World Economic Forum last week, as I presented that particular message, we see Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, saying that famines, along with wars and other things, need to be central in our focus. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 24, that in the end times there would be an increase of wars and rumors of wars, pestilences, and famines. Mm-hmm. The Ukrainian situation is causing famines worldwide. Why? Because the Ukraine produces 1/3 of all of the wheat for the world. And in the exporting of that wheat to particularly poorer countries in Africa, it's causing extraordinarily large, not only food supply problems, but also the food is not able to get to the people who are hungry, and that's increasing exponentially by the day and the week. So I just think that's going to add to this whole idea of before Jesus returns, there's going to be a greater frequency and intensity in the number of famines that occur worldwide. Russia's invasion of the Ukraine is causing that to occur with greater intensity and frequency. But you ask the question, how would Rosh in Ezekiel 38 ultimately invade Israel? I think you need to look at the second country, and that's Iran. Dear friends, Iran now has the nuclear uranium necessary to build a bomb. And the mullahs and the spiritual leaders of Iran who oversee and really overrule the elected people that are in office in the land, it would be like if you look at the United States and you have the Senate and the House of Representatives, really they make laws, but honestly the president is a mullah who understands that you really are a theocracy and he can overrule anything that's made by the legislature. That's what's happening in Iran as well. And they've made it very clear. Their desire is to see Israel buried in the heart of the sea. The hundreds of billions of dollars that President Obama released to them has allowed the enrichment of those uranium possibilities, and Iran now has the ability to have a bomb. Now, Israel knows that. The Mossad and all of its different military strategists know that. And they also know that Iran wants to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. Just this past week, you had in-depth military operations in Israel by its military forces trying, first of all, to make sure they are prepared if any kind of nuclear assault should come upon them. But secondly, there are talks about how Israel would be the first to attack to prevent that from ever happening to them. We have already examples over the last years of drone attacks from Israel upon Iranian facilities to prevent the establishment of the bomb. That has occurred. We know that as a reality. So if that is the fact, if that is indeed what has happened, and Israel is preparing as such for defensively, but also offensively, think about this. The people who have allowed Iran to obtain nuclear weaponry are largely Russian. The people who are in Iran helping them build these facilities in order for the uranium to be enriched and become a bomb are Russian. And the number of scientists there are in the hundreds. Russia and Iran have an in-depth, interconnected, inextricably connected relationship right now. And what might happen if indeed Israel takes the offense and says, we're not going to sit back and let Iran attack us with a weapon of mass destruction. We're going to preclude that. We're going to take the initiative on that. And if that happens, that means that in their own attack, they could kill literally dozens, maybe hundreds of Russians who are in Iran. You also have Russian tanks on the Syrian border of Israel. That could then draw Russia into the conflict between Iran and Israel. And interestingly, in Ezekiel 38, you have the phrase that Rosh has a hook that's put into its mouth to bring it to Israel. Now, that's absolutely fascinating. You think, why would Russia invade Israel? Well, it could well be that they aren't really that interested at the moment, though Israel is its chief competitor with gas reserves and gas being sent out to the world. That's an interesting side note, if you will. But why would Russia attack Israel? Could it be that Israel attacks Iran in a preemptive strike? And that's what causes Russia, Rosh, to come directly from the north. If you look at the Ezekiel 38 prophecy, Rosh is exactly where Moscow is, directly to the north of Jerusalem. That could invite them to attack Israel from its northern borders along Syria, and also, as Ezekiel 38 prophesies, with the nation of Put, which is in basically Libya and the Sudan. Jen, did you know that Libya and the Sudan are the only two nations in Africa that do not acknowledge Israel as an actual nation?
No, I did not know
they're
that.
They're the only two, and they're supposed to be a part of the invasion as well. Could all of this be a part of what is the final scene, the final stage, the final act of what God wants to do in ultimately bringing his son back into the world and restoring this world as his own? I am not an apocalyptic crazy.
No, you're not.
I'm not one that looks at this and lives on the edge of my seat biting my nails. I trust God that all of this is within his sovereign control. I just find it fascinating within the concept of the World Economic Forum occurring, which sets up the whole stage for the Antichrist to come on the scene and create a one-world government, a one-world economy with all the cryptocurrency conversation that's going on right now, mm-hmm. and the one-world religion, where there's going to be someone who says, we've got to stop this craziness with all the religions fighting one another and killing people. You can see that part of the biblical prophecies taking place and shaping up. And then also, as you read about Ezekiel 38 and the relationship between Rosh, Russia, and all the Stans, and Persia, Iran, and then Libya, and also Sudan, the put illustration, you can't help but pause and go, I'm wondering what is happening here. Mm-hmm. As I said at the beginning, if you're going to look at biblical prophecies, there are probably three nations in the Mideast you need to concentrate on. One is Russia, one is Iran, and of course, Israel is the most important one on which we should focus.
Well, that leads me to think most of our listeners are probably Americans. And my wonder is, where is America in all of this?
That's a great question. You had Henry Kissinger, the very famous, longstanding influencer of international politics, being a part of the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me like, Jen, that more and more the United States is just a non-entity. Hmm. You know, for example, when we withdrew from Afghanistan, that was a world embarrassment. Hmm. We have never before on the military/economic world stage been so embarrassed. The way that we withdrew from Afghanistan was a huge international embarrassment. I think it signaled nations like Russia, like China, like Iran, that we are increasingly feckless. We are without power. We can be intimidated and we will withdraw. Most people don't realize we left behind in that rapid evacuation of Afghanistan $95 billion worth of military equipment. We left it behind how to be used by our enemies. Mm-hmm. Not only can they sit down and explore all of the different ways we do things, our contemporary technology, how we do military fighting, but they now have actually those vehicles, those methodologies at their fingertips in order to fight themselves. So I think that gave evidence to the fact that America is becoming increasingly weaker on the world stage, less potent, less respected. And in these end times prophecies in the Bible, you just don't see a great nation from the West. Mm-hmm. It's just not there. There's one reference to the young lions that are in relationship with Dedan and other places which represent, I think, Saudi Arabia and Qatar, those areas around Israel that are presently in alignment with Israel because of the Abraham Accords. You also have the reference to, I think, a nation that could be England, but the young lions could represent America because we're young in our historical perspective. But they all just kind of sit back as Russia invades Israel and goes, cluck, cluck, you shouldn't really do that. But never take any action whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's almost like we're being isolated on the world stage and all of these different end times phenomenon. And if you do believe in the rapture, which is a debate out there among Christians, people believe that if indeed God raptures out millions upon millions upon millions of people right before all of these economic world issues come to the fore, right before Russia invades Israel, it's only going to cause more chaos. You're eliminating more salt from the earth that has traditionally stood against that evil, but now no longer is here so that that evil can expand, be exacerbated, and enlarged.
Well, I think now would be a good time, if you're willing, to answer a question from a listener about Henry Kissinger's position on the U.S. not pushing Putin. What would your response be to that?
I think it's exemplary of the more isolated America has become militarily, economically, and in influence globally. His whole thing was kind of let Putin do whatever he needs to do, and it is America's feckless inability to confront evil, particularly the greatest evil in the world, which is Putin. People ask me, could Putin be the Og of the Magog issue. The Og is the prince of Magog. Well, he certainly is that evil. Now, some people think he has cancer. Some people think he's at the end of his life, and some are rejoicing, going, get rid of Putin. They just need to know that his lined-up successor right now is five times more evil than he is. That's the way God oversees the world anyway. He knows what's going to happen historically. So it's all in his plans and all in his desires. But the inability to confront Putin, to stand up to Putin, that Kissinger basically said to do, only again shows the inability of America's potency to stand up against world powers, especially the Rosh, which will invade Israel.
Okay, thank you so much.
Well, everyone, I hope this is appreciated by you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not an alarmist. I stand in whole understandings of prophecy as a follower of Jesus, and I realize this is my Father's world. He created it, and Jesus is the one who owns everything in his created order. Satan's greatest desire is simply to be worshiped. That's all he wants. In the Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14, understandings of who Satan is, notice those five times Satan says, I will. I will, I will, I will, I will. He just wants the world to worship him. That's the reason he rebelled against God and became the fallen angel Satan himself. But above Satan, who is a creature, stands our Creator Jesus. He is the one who is worthy to be worshiped, and he controls all that Satan's going to do, even as the Antichrist and the false prophet, along with Satan himself, are the unholy Trinity. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity that oversees everything that Satan does, and God controls his world. So if the rapture is true, we get raptured out of this mess and we don't have to deal with it. If it's not true, God will give us the strength in order to face whatever may come our ways, like he protected the Jews in the land of Goshen. When God poured out his judgment of the 11 plagues upon the Egyptians, God will put us in a place where he protects us as well. He loves us. We are his. We don't need to fear anything. We should worship every day regularly because our God is good. He controls everything. But we are supposed to read the signs of the time. That is what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. Don't predict the day or the hour, but do read the signs of the time. Understand what's going on, and it will make you more prepared for that great day when you face our soon returning Lord and King. Jen, anything at all?
Well, that's a great word of hope. And one last thing I would like to say is God loves the nations. He loves the different languages and the people that represent the different nations. And if you don't know the American history, I would strongly encourage our leaders to go to D.C., read the names written of those who have given their lives for our freedom.
Arlington Cemetery.
Arlington Cemetery. Look at the wall from the Vietnam Memorial. Like, just go and learn and appreciate and be grateful for your freedoms.
And let us not forget, Jen, that many of those who gave their lives for our freedom were fathers.
Yeah.
The fathers of children. And what an appropriate way to end today's HopeCast as we look forward to Father's Day. You know, fathers aren't adults. You know, God never intended dads to be kind of there, if you will. Dads are essential in the home. And as we reflect upon the tragic shootings that have occurred over our last, say, 10 or so years here in America, most specifically the Uvalde, Texas shooting, and you look at those young men who did that shooting, most of them teens, all except one came from fatherless homes.
Wow.
I just don't think that's a coincidence. I think fathers need to be their dads. They need to be involved with their kids. They need to set boundaries, and they need to give the example of what it means to follow Jesus.
Yes, I completely agree and can say in our home, when Chris says something to our kids, they listen to him better than they listen to me.
That's right. And they do try to play parents against one another. And when dad steps in a loving yet authoritative way, it helps give security and guidance to the home. So as we look forward to this weekend, let's state again clearly, dads aren't add-ons. They are essential. And maybe that will help all of us, especially this weekend as we celebrate Father's Day, to celebrate the really good dads who are out there and participate particularly those who gave their lives for our freedom here in our great country. I'm David Chadwick, and next week we'll look at another episode of what's going on in our culture and the slow but steady decline in morality that we are sensing all around us. Jen, thank you for being with me today.
Thank you for having me, and happy Father's Day, David.
Thank you, Jen, and tell Chris the same for me, and God bless you all. Look forward to talking with you next week.